From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Araspeña with your state and local news update. The avalanche danger for downtown Juneau was lowered from high to considerable today, but the city's avalanche forecaster says it could go back to high if temperatures rise higher than expected. Emergency programs manager Tom Matisse wrote in his daily urban avalanche advisory on Monday that natural slides are still possible in downtown Juneau. Human-triggered slides remain more than likely. Matisse said there were slides observed over the weekend on the White Path. That's the furthest north avalanche path off of Mount Juneau. But no slides came down above the Barrens neighborhood. He wrote, there has not been a lot of slide activity there this season, and that means, quote, we have a great deal of snow up there now. He advises residents to limit their time in the Barrens neighborhood and to avoid the Flume Trail. Meanwhile, the State Department of Transportation says they plan to do avalanche hazard reduction above Thane Road on Tuesday between 10 a.m. and noon. Thane Road will be closed during that period. If any avalanche debris covers the roadway, then the road will remain closed until heavy equipment can clear the snow. And in other news, the Federal Emergency Management Agency announced Wednesday that it would provide assistance for the December storm disaster in southeast Alaska. KHNS's Henry Leisha spoke with a representative from the agency to learn more about how the federal disaster funds will be distributed.
After floods, landslides, and mudslides caused extensive damage and killed two people in December, state officials began cataloging the damage throughout southeast Alaska. Using the information that was collected, Governor Mike Dunleavy made a request for public assistance from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. FEMA spokesperson Hannah Weinstein says the agency's public assistance provides funds to state, local, and tribal governments, as well as some private nonprofits for emergency response and infrastructure repairs.
This unlocks grants to repair roads, bridges, to do debris removal, that kind of thing.
The Biden administration declared a major disaster for the December storm last week, making federal funds available to Haines, Skagway, Juneau, Petersburg, and communities in the Chatham School District. State officials say the estimated cost of the damage from the storm is approximately $36 million for the whole region. But according to Weinstein, there is no fixed amount of funding from FEMA to cover the damages.
There's not a cap. There's no, okay, this is the full amount of what you get. It's based on the project itself. So an entity will apply for a public assistance grant for a specific project, and then we work with them to estimate the cost of that project, and then we get that money out the door.
FEMA reimburses applicants for 75% of eligible expenses, with the state covering the remaining 25%. The grants can be used to reimburse emergency expenses during the storm, as well as projects that have yet to be completed. It is not yet clear how local governments and nonprofits can apply for public assistance grants from FEMA. Weinstein says that in addition to disaster expenses, the federal disaster declaration will also make funding available for hazard mitigation for the entire state of Alaska.
So it's looking even more in the future with what kind of projects can we work on with the state and local governments to reduce the chance that something like this would happen again.
The Dunleavy administration did not request assistance for individuals from FEMA. Instead, the state is rolling out its own program to help people who lost property and are facing new expenses as a result of the storm. State assistance can help replace personal possessions and cover the cost of housing, transportation, medical, funeral, or dental expenses related to the disaster. Eligible individuals can apply for the state's individual assistance program at ready.alaska.gov through February 26th. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
The cruise industry in southeast Alaska remains frustrated by Canada's decision to close its ports to large ships for the year, effectively prohibiting anything close to a typical visitor season in 2021. But in 2022, the cruise rebound in ports like Sitka could be staggering. Representatives from the industry outlined some of the barriers to cruising in the coming season and warned about a record surge in the next during a presentation to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Mike Tibbles is with the Cruise Line International Association in Juneau. CLIA represents 17 of the cruise lines that sail in Southeast, from the biggest players in the market to some of the smaller ships. Canada's announcement in early February that it would not open its ports to ships with more than 100 passengers for another year amounted to putting a tourniquet on Alaskan cruising. But he thinks Canada's no-sail order could be revised under the right circumstances.
So I think we were a little surprised that it went all the way up to February of 22. But we have been communicating with the Canadian officials. They've indicated that, you know, they're focused on the health aspect of the pandemic, and that if conditions improve, that an interim order is not as tough as a regulation to change, so that date could potentially be revisited.
But it's not just a matter of Canada rescinding its order. Tibbles explained that the U.S. Centers for Disease Control had replaced its own no-sail order with a framework that allows cruising under rigorous safety guidelines that cover everything from single-use berths for crew members, lavatories, to test sailings and safety plans for port communities. Putting a cruise season together under these terms on short notice would be an extraordinary challenge.
We have a really high hurdle here. It's going to be extremely difficult to align all of these things, the meeting, you know, getting the guidance from the CDC, meeting those requirements, finding some solution to the announcement in Canada, and then getting all the plans in place with the local communities before sailing.
Even if there was movement from Alaska's congressional delegation for a workaround for the Passenger Vessel Services Act, the law which requires all foreign flagged ships to stop in a foreign port while on their Alaskan itineraries, Tibble said, "We have an uphill fight." There could be another kind of fight in 2022, however, if the COVID pandemic is brought under control. The struggle of Southeast communities to keep their heads above water under a deluge of cruise visitors. Chris McGraw runs what was formerly known as the Old Sitka Dock and has now been rebranded as the Sitka Sound Cruise Terminal. He said that Royal Caribbean was adding 3 ships to its Southeast Alaska itinerary.
2 of those ships will be there. Quantum class ships, which have passenger capacities in excess of 4,000 passengers.
That could push Sitka's cruise visitor count in 2022 to over 400,000, a record for the community. McGraw is investing in a new passenger terminal at his facility, expanding its capacity from just over 2,000 people to something around 9,000. He's upgraded his docks to accommodate 2 of the 1,100-foot Quantum class ships. He wants the rest of Sitka to be ready.
Looking forward to 2022, I think Sitka really needs to start planning now to adequately accommodate from both a local perspective and visitor perspective these passenger volumes. Planning for Centennial Hall needs to be developed to accommodate the large shuttle traffic.
McGraw said that there could be over 40 days in the summer of 2022 with over 5,000 cruise passengers in town, which would mean running 25 shuttles. He noted that Sitka's downtown Lincoln Street corridor feels crowded when there are only 1,500 passengers in town.
And we're going to have days where we're going to have 8,000 passengers, and the sidewalks, the traffic, that all needs to be improved, in my opinion.
He recommended that anybody in the industry begin thinking about the issues stemming from such large increases in volume, and that local government should begin planning. He said everyone should be able to enjoy themselves and live in Sitka without feeling like we're being overrun with visitors. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Alaska public health officials say 3,000 doses of the coronavirus vaccine will arrive later than expected because of a winter storm that has ravaged the continental U.S. The state's immunization program manager, Matt Bobo, said Thursday that some vaccine appointments may be postponed until next week. The doses were supposed to reach 21 different providers. Kelsey Pistotnik, another state vaccine official, says the delay occurred at a somewhat fortuitous time, a part of the month in which the state was already experiencing a smaller vaccine shipment. State officials say they have been communicating with officials at the White House and the CDC about the delay. and newly purchased property and buildings adjacent to an Anchorage shelter are expected to serve as a resource hub for people experiencing homelessness. The Anchorage Daily News reported Widener Apartment Homes and the Rasmussen Foundation say the apartment company plans to buy parcels of land next to the Brother Francis shelter in a building and property owned by Beans Cafe, which serves meals to the homeless community. This is KTOO News.